thank you, man. I appreciate that. Man, that's a blessing. You want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, please? Wow, that was wonderful. Appreciate the good music today, the good singing from the choir, and hey, and by the way, good singing from the congregation. I appreciate that. Encourages my heart, and see God's people just wanting to lift up their voice to praises to God. He's worthy, isn't he?
Amen.
And aren't you glad he doesn't change?
Amen.
And man, I'm serious about that. I think about him not changing, and one of the first things that come to mind is salvation. And I'm glad that he's the one that holds salvation.
Amen.
It ain't up to me, friend. It ain't up to you. It's up to him. And when we come to him in faith, he receives us as his dear children. By faith, we become the children of God, and then he keeps that salvation. There's no man that can tamper with salvation once they have it. It's God's the one who seals it, and I'm thankful that that doesn't change, and I'm thankful God's goodness doesn't change. He never ceases to be good. That's not my message, but I just felt like saying that. That's a whole nother message, and just thankful to be here this morning and see you folks, and just a good crowd this morning, good spirit. I just want to say I appreciate it. I had a good teen meeting last night. Man, I tell you, I just feel like I'm a teenager all over again. And that was at the time, but about 6 o'clock this morning, I wasn't saying that. They had more energy than we know what to do with, Brother Ricky. But it's good. They had a wonderful time. Good message, God's Word, Brother Ricky brought last night. Spoke to my heart, and thankful for what God did in the meeting last night. I want to tell you, there's all kinds of fun stuff going on. I'm talking about possum stew. Anybody ever had possum stew? That's what it was called, wasn't it? I think it was really chicken and dumplings, but it was real good. I had the spaghetti. Man, it was a neat little dinner they had where you had to put a number down. You didn't know what each item's number was. And some on your appetizer, some of them got their dessert first. And then some people for their main entree got basically a piece of bread, a fork, and a spoon, and a napkin. And it just went around, and it was a lot of fun. Had a great time with that, and appreciate the hard work there from the Buseys. And how many of you are thankful for this wonderful fall weather? Hey, man. How many of you went dove hunting this weekend? Anybody here go dove hunting? All right, Levi, I hear you, buddy. I hope you shot something. I don't know, when I went dove hunting, I shot a lot of shells, but I didn't see many birds come down. But it's just that time of year, just a special time the Lord gives us, and the change of season, and the colors. I'm real big into colors, folks. I love to see God the trees that God has given us change colors. Y'all notice this this tree right across the street already starting to turn red, and those things are special, you know. And I think we ought to be thankful for the little things too, amen, and appreciate the things that God gives us. And you know, I'm thankful. Y'all gonna like preachers getting carnal on us, but I'm thankful for college football. I like college football season. I like high school football, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of our young men that are playing, coming and seeing you. I've seen a couple of them already. But look, I got to say something here, and hope I don't get anybody mad at me. But listen, we're just going to make a truce here. We're going to just kind of make an agreement here that we will not talk about here at church. We will not talk about college football, all right, unless Georgia wins, okay? But if they lose, we don't want to get the spirit riled up in us, okay? Let's just keep it to ourselves. We'll keep moving forward. But with all seriousness, I am thankful for what the Lord is doing here in the church. And you folks are so gracious to my family. The Lord, I just want to say this, and I'll get to preaching here in a minute. I want to say this. You folks have really extended just so much love to our family personally. You've helped us and, you know, getting settled in. Folks have just been chipping in left and right. I want to thank the church for how you've helped me personally as your pastor in the office. We've been able to get that somewhat updated, and went from a hunter green to more of an off-white. Kind of brightens the office up a little bit. Brother Dan Bachman helped me a lot, Ms. Edie, with that. And the church helped me get a new computer and new desk. I kind of wanted a standing desk because I hear that you can it helps you a lot in your health. And you know, I'm I do a lot of sitting when I'm studying, so they say it's a lot healthier if you can stand and study. And kind of helps me practice preach too. You know, that little window right there gets a lot of preaching. You know, I just have my Bible here. But seriously, just want to thank you for taking care of your pastor. I just feel so encouraged. And I feel so loved. And I just want to tell you thank you. It means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to Joanne and the children. Well, you're there in Daniel chapter 1, and you know we started this study a couple weeks ago, and we're talking about the theme especially the first half of this book is Daniel's testimony in an ungodly society. Daniel, the prophet here, is living in a society now. He's been taken from his hometown. He's been taken to a foreign land and is now under the rule and authority of a pagan king called Nebuchadnezzar. And he is an ungodly man. He's got all these idols that he worships and is totally contrary to what Daniel has been used to. To what Daniel has practiced in his life with his family. And he's been thrown into this situation. By the way, I say thrown, but he has been led in this situation by the God of heaven. God directed Daniel's path. It was no accident that Daniel went and was taken out of his country, if you will, and taken captive and put where he was. It was part of God's plan. And by the way, God has a plan for each of us. And that's something that is the joy I was telling the young people this morning. That's something about wonderful about the Christian life. We're not robots, okay? Not everybody is. We're not cookie-cutter Christians. We're all distinct. Yes, we have the same God. We serve the same Lord. We have the same Bible, okay? We stand on the same truth. But God uses us and leads us all in different, various ways. And how glorious that is. And some are at different stages in life. And some are in this room this morning are going through some real deep trials. Some in this room are on mountaintops. But listen, God is in control. And He's leading you exactly where you are right now. God is not on break. God is not sleeping. God is not taking a nap. Hey, He's not slumbering. But he's very much involved. And we see that he has led Daniel up to this point to where now we saw where Daniel denied the diet that was given to him. And we talked about the courage that took and the spiritual and godliness of Daniel and how we can follow in that pathway because of our character, because of who God has called us to be. And we talked about having a purpose statement and standing on principles that God has given us for His Word, from His Word, so that we can purpose in our hearts to not defile ourselves, not to disgrace the God of heaven. Hey, listen, I'll tell you something. If you're a member or a guest here, but I'm speaking to members right now. If you're a member of Crooked Creek Baptist Church, listen, and you go out and you do things that are against the Word of God, yes, that grieves me that you are a member of Crooked Creek, but I want to tell you something that grieves my heart even more, is you're a child of the King. You represent Jesus Christ before you represent this church, friend. You remember that, and I believe Daniel knew that when he went into this ungodly society, he was representing the God of Israel, the Creator God. And that's something I believe that will help us tremendously, that as we go forth, even in our society, that is contrary to God in so many ways. But we also saw that the last message, we talked about Daniel and the conviction he had, or the confidence, that he went forth and said, look, there to the prince of the eunuch, he said, look, we're not going to be able to do this. And we talked about how he approached that. He was courteous. How that when he stood with conviction, yes, he stood with confidence, but he did it with courtesy. And we talked about that, how conviction without courtesy, kindness, is carnality. It's carnality. It's just as carnal and worldly as somebody that just is living for themselves. Because it's so important. And I believe Daniel had an element of courtesy that I pray that God would help me to have. As I stand with conviction, ain't nothing wrong with standing with conviction, folks. We stand on the Word of God. We don't apologize for it. But boy, we sure can be polite about it, can't we? We don't have to apologize, but we can be courtesy and kind. And I believe he did in the face of the most powerful man probably on the face of the earth at that time. He stood on conviction, but he did it with courtesy. And we talked about that and how God would help us with that. But this morning I want to pick back up with his stand, if you will, and his countenance. As Daniel stood in this situation and this situation where he had to stand against the king, I want us to look at his countenance this morning. Before we do, let's just ask the Lord to help us and to draw from His Word. Let's pray together. Father, we do pause now and pray that You would illumine our hearts and our minds to Your Word. And Holy Spirit, I in no way can meet the needs in this room. But I'm thankful You can meet every one of them. I'm thankful, Lord, that You know every burden. I'm thankful You know every struggle. I'm thankful You know every need. And God, before I dive into this message, I just commit this message to You that You would take it and use it for Your glory. And we'll be very thankful, oh God, for what You do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We see His countenance here. Look in verse 15, if you would, with me, please. We'll read verse 14 first. It says, so he consented, okay? So they're going to let him go through with the diet that Daniel has said, this is what we want to do because we want to honor God. We know God will take care of us. And he says, verse 14, so he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. All right, now that's significant because that is going to be a proving period. That is going to be a time that they are going to be able to show the faithfulness of God. And by the way, this was a step of faith. This was a very real element of what faith is. Here's Daniel. He's simply taking God at His word. He's simply taking God at His word of being faithful to Him and taking care of Him. And no matter what happens, by standing on truth, God has promised to take care of His children. And so we're all facing those things today as well. Every one of us. Every one of us are faced with situations where we have to take a step of faith. We have that 10-day period, if you will, or however long it is. It's various for everyone. It varies for everyone. But the truth is, there are proving times in our life where we have to just simply take God at His Word. And just step out there and say, look, this is what I believe God wants me to do. I believe I'm standing on the principle of God's Word. And guess what? It was able to take place. The prince of the eunuchs consented and they said, okay, we'll do this 10 days. And look what happens in verse 15. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Now, I could park here for a long time, folks. This, my friend, is a true evidence from the Word of God that when we do things God's way, God honors His children. Look what the Word of God is saying. He's saying that after the 10 days and after going through, it says their countenances, it says that appeared fairer and fatter in flesh. They were more beautiful. They were fuller. They were more healthier. And that, by the way, that does encourage me a little bit, that the fact that I do have a verse to back up that it is okay to be a little on the overweight side. I'm fatter in some ways, okay? Fatter in flesh. But with all seriousness, that does simply indicate that they were healthy looking. And they were more healthy looking than, get this now, than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. His countenance was different. You know something about our countenance, it makes a difference as we walk with the Lord. What is your countenance, friend? What is your countenance as you're walking with the Lord? I wonder here, Daniel, I happen to believe that those 10 days, there could have been a temptation to complain. You think about Daniel, like I was mentioning the other day, you think about Daniel and his buddies. Here they are eating carrot sticks, if you will. I like those little things. You know those little baby carrots? I like them as snacks. But that, I don't want to eat that every day for all my life. But that's what they were eating, celery sticks, carrot sticks, and you'd go down the line, the vegetables, and they were drinking nothing but water. And here is old Johnny and all my other buddies, they're over there having ribeyes. That ain't right. That's the attitude. Look at them. They're just going to get fat. They're going to put on those pounds. Look at those baked potatoes. I don't know if they had baked potatoes. Something like it, I'm sure. But you get the idea. The other crowd was having the king's meat. They were feasting. Puts Golden Corral to shame, friend. They had it all. But look at, you imagine Daniel and those boys that said, listen, I'm sure, and it, because of Daniel's character, the reason I'm saying this, I'm taking a little liberty. It doesn't say this in the Word of God, but I'm taking liberty because of Daniel's character. I just happen to believe that during that time, friend, that Daniel and those other boys said, hey, fellas, it's going to be all right. We're going to trust God. We're going to trust God. God will take care of His children. And friends, you may look around you into the world and you may see all what the world's offering them and all that what they're taking. And boy, they seem like they're just going to be fat. Seems like they're going to be full. Seems like they got all the blessings in the world. But let me remind you what Daniel saw. Daniel saw the importance of him honoring God before he honors the world. And God took care of him. And God will take care of you. You don't need to compromise your convictions, church, to be fed, to be full. Listen, I want to tell you, let me tell you something. You will never feel any fuller when you're walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When you're seeking to walk to please the Savior, I want to tell you something. Your countenance will be different, and you will be able to stand on conviction with a countenance. And by the way, I don't think there was any complaining. And by the way, I don't think there was any cowering either. I believe that we would have known that in the Word of God if there would have been somebody that gave in through Daniel or the Hebrew friends there. But there was no cowering. And guess what? We don't need to cower either. We stand with a countenance that honors the Lord. And we don't cower before the pressure that is over us, because that is the lie, by the way, that an ungodly society will try to convince Christians of. Listen, if you really want to have a full life, if you really want to enjoy life, just be like us. That's where you're going to find fulfillment. But that is a lie straight out of the pit of hell. Because God says, your fullness will come from me and me alone. And young people, I encourage you. I know there's especially that pressure upon you. That listen, if you really want to have a full teenage life, if you really want to enjoy the fullness of life, you need to do this, this, and this. Let me tell you, look at Daniel. Look at Daniel and his friends. Look what God did for him. When the 10 days came to an end, guess who was healthier? Daniel. Guess who was fuller? Daniel and those friends. And I want to tell you something. It may look like, and that's the thing about the world, everything may look all nice and pretty right now. But after the proving time, however long that is, listen, God's people will be fuller. It may not look like it at the time. I'm sure it didn't look like it at the time. Again, the guys, they're eating steaks and everything else. And I mean, it appears that they are more blessed. It appears that they are just going to have it better and they're going to be fuller. But God says, no. No, it's not that way. He says, you follow me, you honor me first, and I will fill you. I will bless you. I will encourage you. I will use you. You know, divine intervention is what we see here, don't we? Could you imagine? I mean, it's supernatural intervention. You think about that. 10 days, somebody's eating nothing but vegetables. You know, you got all those diets now. You got all those diets, 1,000 ways, you know. And that, you know, diets trip me out. You go in and type in Google and you type in diet. See how many results you get. Millions. Millions of diets. And they're making millions of dollars, Brother Ricky, on people like me that are desperate. But you know, the truth is, it's very simple. eat less, walk more. People are making millions of dollars on that very principle. But Daniel, he stood with the right countenance, even though he didn't have what the world was having, what those others were having. And you know what? God blessed, and he moved in on that, and he made that crowd, he made his children look more precious and fuller and healthier than all the others. Glory to God. And guess what, friend? He'll do the same for you. He will do the same for you. Not only do we see his countenance there in verse 15 and 16, but go down to verse 17 and look at his comprehension. Look at Daniel's comprehension of what God was giving him. It says, and as for these four children, it says God gave. Now, if you have a habit of underlining your Bible, I really think that's significant. God gave, those two words. And these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. But before we move into verse 18, let's just think about this for a second. One of the things that I believe that was comprehended by Daniel, the author of this book, is he understand that the ability, listen up young people, the ability and the gifts came from God. Didn't come from within themselves, did not come from their abilities themselves, but the abilities were given straight from the God of heaven. They had a comprehension that, listen, God gave. God gave us. By the way, church, may that always be our testimony. Not about what we've done, not about what we will do, but what's God do? What did God do for us? What is God doing now? And what God will do for us? Because if anything happens good to this church, if anything happens good in your life, I want to tell you something, it's going to come from God. And I believe Daniel comprehended that these gifts of understanding and visions, they were given by God. And we're going to see that as we dig into this book. We're going to see how he always exalted the Lord for the abilities that he had. And, you know, the gifts were given by God. They had nothing in themselves. Now get this. They had nothing in themselves to glory in, but only God. God, help us to be there. And our comprehension that as we live this life for God, any victory that comes in my life, it will be because of the faithfulness and the greatness and the unchanging God that I serve. You know, 2 Corinthians says his, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I believe they have that attitude. Look over with me in Galatians. Hold your place in Daniel. And go over to Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter 6, Paul was writing to these brethren who were many, were affected by Judaizers and Pharisees and those that were all about just keeping the law. And it being an imbalance, it was imbalanced, and it was something that was very serious that Paul had to deal with, that was out of whack, and he's dealing with it. And then he comes to a conclusion in chapter 6, and it all comes down to this. And look there in Galatians chapter 6, verse 13. He says this, "For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law." Okay, then he's dealing with people that are all about just keeping the law for salvation. Keeping the law, the law, the law. He says this, "But desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." All right, but get this. "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Hey, I just want to bring to your attention here from the book of Galatians that I believe Daniel himself was one that made his glory in God. He did not glory in his ability. Even he did not glory in his convictions. I don't believe he gloried in that. I believe he continually gloried in the God of heaven. And I believe that if we will be effective for God's glory in this society, we will always make our glory in the cross of Jesus. As Paul says here, he says that, but God forbid that I should glory. Say, that means, but only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he say? By whom the world is crucified unto me. What does that mean? It means the world was crucified to him. It was nothing to him. He didn't want anything to do with that. But then the world thought the same about Paul. The world thought the same about Paul, that he was basically crucified in this sense because he was no good. His life was vain. What is this Christian walk you're talking about? But he said, I'm going to glory in the cross. I'm going to glory in the Lord Jesus, God Almighty. Listen, I believe this goes into the line of being courteous as well, what we talked about. Now let's get this, church. I hope we don't ever glory in our righteousness. That's very dangerous, church. Let's never glory on how just and straight we are. That's dangerous. It's worldly. But may only our glory be in the cross of Jesus. And what does the cross represent, church? It represents brokenness. It represents desperation. It represents someone that comes at the foot of the cross, nothing to offer Jesus Christ. Nothing to offer Him. Lord, I have nothing to offer You, but my glory is in You and You alone. That's the attitude I believe Daniel had in his heart. He didn't glory in the fact that he could stand. But by the way, we should stand. We're not exempting standing. Don't get me wrong. But that's not what we glory in. I don't glory in my standards and convictions. I glory in the cross. I glory in Jesus Christ and what He's done for me and what He can do for you too. As we submit ourselves to Him, that's my glory. I want Crooked Creek to be a church that is known for glorying in the cross. Making that our glory, as Paul said. You know, Romans says in chapter 12, verse 3, to every man that is among you, to not think highly or more of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. I believe that he was simply telling them, listen, don't ever get high and mighty. Don't ever think you've arrived or you're better than all the others. No. We glory in the cross. I don't glory. Listen, I'm thankful for this church. I love this church. And I want to make a difference in this community. But I'm not glorying that I'm a Baptist. And I'm thankful that I'm a Baptist. I don't apologize about being a Baptist. But I'm telling you, I'm going to glory in the cross. And that's what we got to make the focus. We can get sidetracked by Satan, and he will deceive us in thinking and getting us to glory in other areas. But listen, we need to make the cross our focus. Glory. He had understanding that God gave everything He had. Every ability, every function, every conviction, God enabled him. God gave the ability. Can I say this, church? God-given abilities, which they are given by God, never negate our God-given responsibility. You get that? God gives ability, okay? But with the ability comes a responsibility. And God has gifted this church. And God has gifted every person in this room this morning to accomplish something greater than themselves for the glory of God. Every one of you, God has chosen you to glorify yourself. But listen, God has given you the gifts. That's not the question. Here's the big question. If there's a big question mark in this message this morning, let it be this. Am I available? God has given me the ability, but have I given Him the availability to work in my life? Have I made myself available to Him? The gifts that were given to Daniel were not apart from their required diligent effort. You better believe Daniel was studying the language of the Chaldeans. You better believe he was studying thoroughly the culture of the in the Babylonian kingdom. He was studying those things and learning. He was giving forth effort, trying to make a difference for the glory of God. He wasn't lazy. He didn't stand around, and by the way, this is something that we don't watch out, we'll do it. He didn't stand around and blame his circumstances. He wasn't a victim of the culture. He wasn't a victim of something in the past. No. He worked. He made his mind up that this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to stand around with a victim mentality. I've been kidnapped. My country. I can't do nothing for God. He wasn't a victim, was he? God help us not to be crybabies. But God help us to stand with conviction. And to work hard and allow God to use us to make ourselves available. That's why Paul told the Romans, yield yourselves as instruments of righteousness. That's why one of my life verses is, you can hold your place there and go look with me, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Hold your place in Daniel. 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. Verse 9. Okay, we're talking about being available for God to show Himself strong. Look what verse 9 says. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. That's my life verse. One of them, because you know why? I'm just saying, God, please, when you're looking around this earth, somebody to show yourself strong through, please, God, let me be available. I don't want any glory, God. I just want to be used. And I hope and pray that that's the attitude of Crooked Creek Baptist Church. That you don't come to God saying, listen, God, I can offer you this and this and this and this, but you can say, God, I don't have anything to offer, but I give myself for you to show yourself strong and mighty. I was talking to the teens this morning. You know what? I'm thankful for the verse that says, God hath chosen the weak things of this world, the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Hey, that encourages me because I'm in that category, friend. I know I'm weak and I know I'm foolish, and God has chosen us so that He might get the glory. How wonderful of a truth that is, making ourselves available. He had a comprehension. He had the gift of understanding. Look there, it says verse 17 back in the book of Daniel. And as for the four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now this is before the Bible was complete. Daniel would be given the gift of understanding future times. We'll study that down the road. He was given that. That no longer exists because the Bible, the canon, is complete. We're no longer in need of prophets in the sense of foretelling the future. It's complete, but at this time it was giving. But I want to tell you something. God does still give special understanding to His will. And can I say this, and I'm going to move on. This thing of being able to be used of God and understanding His will, there has to be total availability. Total surrender. I've been there, you've been there, haven't you? Where you just can't figure out something. You just can't get any liberty. You can't get any clarity. Maybe you're facing some of those decisions right now. Listen, God will give you understanding as you make yourselves totally available to Him. A total surrender. Not holding on to anything. You know, it's like that old kid. I heard the little story. I believe it's a true story, but the young boy, the young lad was playing with a pot in his house, and man, next thing you know, mom comes into the room and the little boy's got his hand stuck in this big jar, and with a little small opening, and the little fella couldn't get his arm out. Well, they tried and tried, man. They got olive oil, and man, they tried everything to get that arm out. And finally, this is embarrassing to them, they had to call the fire department. Just because they didn't want to cause any damage to the young boy's arm, so they wanted to be extra careful about how they do that. So a paranoid mom, that's what they do. They're going to call 911, and that's what happened. And finally, they got that little lad, they got it and safely removed the jar, and come to find out that little rascal was holding on to a penny. And he wouldn't let go. So the reason he couldn't get his arm out, the reason he couldn't get it out, is because he was holding on to something that was totally invaluable. And I wonder if there's someone here this morning. God's trying to use you. God wants to use you in a mighty way to be for His glory in this time, but yet you're holding on to something. You're not just releasing it unto the Lord so that He might use you. Can I encourage you today, friend? Let it go. Let it go. God, listen, it may look like that other side has got the T-bones and the ribeyes, and it may look like they got it all. But listen, God's got something fuller, and can I say, use the Bible word, fatter for you. As we make ourselves available to Him. Well, in closing, let me give you this point here. We see Daniel's commencement. We see that his countenance, but then let's look at his commencement. Look at verse 18. It says, now at the end of the days, now they were going to bring before the king, before this trial time that the king had said should bring them in. And then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And get this, and the king communed with them. Man, wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall right then? When that most powerful man on the earth came into that room and he's gotten word that there's these Hebrew children here. And guess what's going to happen here? It says that he communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. You know, one of the verses that came out to me as soon as I saw that is that verse in Proverbs. Verse 22, verse 29 says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? What does it say? He shall stand before kings. A man that makes himself available and wants to do something for God, he will stand before kings, the Word of God says. But we see that's what exactly happened. Look at verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even into the first year of King Cyrus. Wow, what a testimony. That, my friend, is the blessings of God. That is what we call the favor of God. God's favor for us simply honoring Him. The king recognized them as being 10 times better than all his magicians and all the astrologers that were all in his realm. This communing king. I mean, could you imagine what this evaluation looked like? I guarantee you, buddy, it was not no laid-back event. When King Nebuchadnezzar stepped in that room, can you imagine how formal and official everything must have been? But think of the things he was looking at, the fluency in the Babylonian language. He was looking for the strengths and weaknesses, the extent of knowledge gained during that training period. He was looking at personality characteristics and personal appearance. He's looking at all these things. He's evaluating all these things. And they stood out above the rest, not because of their ability of themselves, but that which God had given them. That is what we see when God's children honor Him. The conclusion of the king was this: none were like Daniel. They were in all manners 10 times better. Can I say this dogmatically as I possibly can? God's will is infinitely better than my own or anybody else's. Can I say that again? God's will is infinitely better than my own or anybody else's. God's will, God's way, God's chosen path. Listen, I want to tell you something. God's going to take care of you, friend. Yes, there are things that we're going to have to stand against. Yes, there are going to be times where we look odd and different. Yes, but we do it with courtesy and kindness, but we do it with God's power and God's blessings. How are we going to make a difference in this community? How are we going to make a difference in this state, in this country? We're going to do it just like Daniel did. We're going to stand on truth. We're going to do it with conviction. We're going to do it with the right countenance. We're going to do it with courtesy. And we're not going to glory in anything that we accomplish. We're not going to glory in anything that we have. But we're going to glory in the cross. That is what God wants us to do. And I believe that's exactly what the attitude that Daniel had. And then in closing, we'll close out this chapter this morning. I want us to see verse 21. And Daniel continued. I love that verse too. That's another one that I like to underline. And Daniel continued. Listen, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to stop. We're not going to stop, church. We're not going to settle for mediocrity. We're not going to settle for what we have here. We're thankful for what God's given us. I'm not saying that, but we're not going to just settle. We're going to continue pressing forward. We're not getting on the sidelines, folks. We're getting in the battle. I hope God puts us on the forefront. I don't want to be put on second string. I don't want to be put on third string. I don't want to be set on the shelf of uselessness. I want God to use me. And I hope that that's the attitude and vision of our church. God, use us. Help us to make a difference as Daniel did. Daniel continued through more than three pagan kings. Ungodly men. Makes Hillary Clinton look like a Sunday school teacher. I'm telling you, these were ungodly pagans. And I mean that. I know it's funny, but I'm serious too. Our politicians that we see as ungodly, listen, they don't hold a light to King Nebuchadnezzar. Are you kidding me? But Daniel stood firm. And he stood strong in the grace and power of Almighty God. And we can too. And we will by God's grace. Daniel's life is a proof that we can and we must live godly in an ungodly world. Let's pray together. Father, You know the needs of this morning. And I pray, Lord, that folks would respond to Your Spirit and to Your Word, however You may have spoken with them. I pray, God, that they would be transparent to You. I don't care whether they're transparent with me, Lord, because You're the one that matters. I hope they are transparent. I hope I'm transparent. But God, we must be transparent before You. And Lord, we are in a society that is growing more and more contrary to Your Word. But Lord, that is no excuse to take the sideline. I know You can use this church, Lord. You've used it all these years, and I know You're going to use it even more. But we beg You, God, we beg You, please, use us like You did Daniel. Use us like You did those Hebrew children. God, I'm begging You. Let us be a light on a hill, Lord. Let us be the salt of the earth. God, we don't want to stand in our righteousness. We don't want to stand in what we've accomplished. Lord, we want to glory in Your cross. And I'm begging You, God, please use us to make a difference for eternity as we glory in You. Would you stand with me, heads bowed, eyes closed, please? As the instruments begin playing softly, if there's someone here this morning that God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come forward. Folks are coming already. Perhaps there's someone here you say, I'm just not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven when I leave this earth, but I sure would like someone to take me and take the Bible and show me how I can be for sure of heaven. No one's looking around. People are praying. We don't have to be ashamed about anything. You say, this morning, preacher, I'm not sure. If I were to die in an automobile accident today, I don't hope that doesn't happen, but if that were to happen, you say, I'm not sure if I would go to heaven. But this morning, I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. Would you just show me by lifting up your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. God bless you, young man. Anyone else like that? You say, I'm not sure if I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to find out more about what the Bible says of how I can be sure. Is there anyone like that? Anyone else? By just lifting your hand so the preacher can see you. Okay, the second question is this, still praying. How is God working in you? What are you doing to make a difference in this society? Those that are contrary to the Word of God, are you standing on conviction with courtesy? How is your countenance? Are you taking God by faith that He will feed you, He will fill you up? Instead of what the world can offer, are you taking what God will give you, which is 10 times better? I just encourage you to be obedient to the Spirit of God and this invitation. What song do we have, Brother Mike?
Hymn number 852, May the Lord Find Us Faithful.
You feel free to come. The invitation is open. 852. Would you sing with us?